You know, that's one of the songs that I would want to copy and put in the cover of my Bible. In that song, you have the gospel clearly laid out, that's set forth by Scripture, and what a blessing it is to hear those truths. And we're going to look at a passage today, but before we do, a passage today that also proclaims the gospel. Before we do, I just want to remind you of what we did last Sunday. Some of you were here, some of you were unable to be here. Last Sunday, we talked about God the whole time. Psalm 139 was full of wonderful things, wonderful truths about God. We saw that He is more than interested in us. He knows us. He has an intimate knowledge of everything about us. He's involved and engaged with our lives. He's not just unattached to what's going on. He's not better. I mean, he's great, but he wants to be engaged. He wants to be involved. He indwells us through the Spirit. His presence is wherever we go. He's infinite. He's inventive. He's created all things. He's written out our days. He made us exactly the way He wants us to be. The day we die is the perfect timing of our death. That's a hard truth for us creatures to grasp. But when He took my father and mother this past year, it was the perfect time because God sovereignly, with His great providence, wrote it out. Does it make it easy for us? He's independent. He's not needy. It's hard to describe Him. He's indescribable when you talk about how great and infinite He is in His knowledge, how great and infinite He is in His presence, how great and infinite He is in His sovereignty. And then we see the psalmist take offense. He takes offense to sin. He says, "Oh God, wow, get those people who hate Him." And then he's reminded, get those people who hate you, God. And then he's reminded of his own sin, and he surrenders and submits himself in light of who God is. He said, "Oh, search me. I know you're searching me, but show me my sin and lead me to repentance. Lead me out of it. Enlighten me to my sin." Today, we're just going to look at one verse. Isaiah 53:6. Turn with me to Isaiah 53:6. Some of you know this passage by heart. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Let's pray. Father, what a sweet, simple verse. Yet it is so difficult for us stubborn, straying, turning to our own way, spiritually proud sinners to grasp. There are people who grow up in the church all their life and do not get the gospel and think they can earn your love or think they can outdo the others for your love. Yet you make it clear, not only in the song that was sung to us today, but in your word where that song is derived from, of the clarity of the gospel. We pray that you would make it clear to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just read to you the first verse I ever learned, I ever memorized. All we like sheep. That was what mom and dad wanted me to learn first. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And they wanted me to know that. And I hope you know that verse by heart, because in it you'll find the gospel. Why would my mom and dad want that to be the first verse I learned? Why would that be the first verse that they would say, "This is what we want our son to learn"? They want me to know my sin. They want me to know that from an early age, that I am a sinner and that I've gone astray and that I've turned to my own way. Now, my mom and dad didn't have to teach me that verse for me to learn that. I knew that I would go astray a lot as a kid. I think John's 11 months older than me, got the most spankings of all 8 kids. We were good at going astray. We were good at turning to our own way. This verse is a confession of faith. We do, y'all say, what's a confession of faith, and a faith, an affirmation of faith? We do that every Sunday, kids, when we do the Apostles' Creed. We did that last Sunday, the Apostles' Creed. This is an affirmation, this is a confession of faith by God's people. We're going to answer four questions. Four questions we're going to answer today, this morning. Who is the all in all we like sheep have gone astray? Who is the all? What has the all done? What has God done? And who is this him? Okay, these are simple questions, but that's going to be kind of the outline in which we will go through as we look at this verse. Before we get into it, let me just say that when one of the sermons I preached when I was interviewing for this senior pastor, solo pastor job was Psalm 22. Many of you brought that up to me, that Psalm 22 is kind of now embedded in your head about, and the title of that sermon was 1,000 years before the cross. God's amazing. 1,000 years before Jesus died on the cross, he puts in song, through the authors that he used to write psalms, the Holy Spirit puts in the song 22, he puts in the song, what's coming? In fact, you remember me saying, this is probably the most personal perspective we have of Jesus from the cross. It is the most personal. We hear the historical accounts in the Gospels about Jesus dying on the cross. Psalm 22 is from Jesus on the cross. 1,000 years before he was on the cross. It's like God saying, let me grow your faith. If you ever doubt the Scriptures, do start studying how long ago Psalms was written before Jesus came to be. Before it was historically recorded that he died on the cross. Before it historically was recorded and had happened that they cast lots for his clothes, that his hands and his feet were pierced. 1,000 years before that took place, Psalm 22 was written. You have the same thing with Isaiah 53:6. Hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ has come, and we'll refer to more of that text than I just read to you, but we have this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 53, this prophecy of one who was going to come and take upon himself the sin of the sinners. Again, God just says, I'm going to give prophecies in the Old Testament and then I'm going to fulfill them in these latter historical books so that there'll be no question of my existence. No question that I called my shot when it came to crucifixion. So who is in this passage, in this prophetic passage where it talks about Christ and the suffering, the man of sorrow who comes, and we'll come back to that when we answer one of the questions. But who is the all? And when I first thought about this years ago, I thought the all was all people, because the Bible teaches that we're all sin. There's no one who does righteous, no, not one. And so if you read this passage, you could be tempted to say the all in this passage is all mankind. Everybody who has lived, everybody who is living, and everybody who shall live. All of mankind, all of womankind is the all. When it says all have sinned and fall short, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. But that's not the all in this text. It is the all, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It is the no one does righteous, that's the all. No one does righteous, no, not one. That is every person who ever lives. Believers and unbelievers, but this is a confession of faith from believers. And we know this not only because of it is in the form of a confession. All we like sheep, God, have gone astray. We've all turned our own way. And you, Lord, have laid upon him the iniquity of us all. But what's wonderful about this is you see the all of the first part of the verse and the all at the end of the part of that verse. And that's done for a purpose in the Hebrew language. It's to emphasize something. It's to let us know who the all is. That the all we like sheep and the all of our iniquities have been laid upon him are believers. It's the elect. God died on the cross for his people. And that all is the everyone, the us, is a confession of faith from believers. And so as you heard that verse, as you acknowledged that confession of faith that we did, that I believe I'm deserving of God's wrath, do you really believe? Are you part of that all? Are you part of those believers? Romans 3:23 says, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:26 says that he might just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You have in this all, God is making clear in his word in Romans that all people are sinners and deserve the wrath of God, and that he might save some of them. In Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6, he's saying all in this passage is the ones that he's going to die for. All people who belong to Christ. So we've answered, but there's another aspect of this all. Not only is it believers, that's really on the first question. He says, all we are like sheep. The believers are like sheep. So all the world, all the people in the world are like sheep gone astray. But it's talking about are like a flock. My flock, all my flock has gone astray. We've all turned to everyone his own way. We're not a part of Christ's flock because we have it turned away. We're not there because, you know, like I thought, God, I'm better than so-and-so, or I'm going to work my way to heaven like my dad thought after his bad start as a teenager in Winsboro, South Carolina on a mill hill. And he went to Davidson to become a pastor to try to outlive his bad. It's saying that my sheep, my flock, my people, they all go astray. They all have turned to their own way. Think about this. We heard in the children's message, I don't know if y'all remember the National Geographic TV shows of the 70s, I guess is when I watched them, the late 70s, early 80s, and there would be animals on that show. And I don't know if you kids do this, but me and my brothers, we would fight over what animal we were. I'm the tiger. No, I'm the tiger. No, you're the monkey. I'm the bear. I'm the bear. I'm the cub. That's me running around, falling out of the honey. And we kind of would try to find identity, whether we do that with the animals in the National Geographic TV show or whether we find an identity in a movie character. We do that with movie characters too. I'm Han Solo. I think Joe Wilson was saying that the other day. I'm Han Solo. Joe teases me about liking Star Wars. I pray for him. But then say, all we like tigers, all we like lions, all we like cute little bears. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Isaiah, moved by the Spirit, says, let me give you an analogy of what you're like. And sheep is a great analogy for us. We heard some of the things here this morning from Charlie. A defenseless animal. One has no means of defense. A sheep has no meat. The only thing a sheep can do to defend itself is run, and they're slow. In fact, a sheep can get so scared, it can panic and have a heart attack on the spot and die. It can be frightened so much, it just dies right there on the spot. A sheep can fall on its back, especially the pregnant sheep, can fall on its back and not be able to get up. Just die on its back. Helpless. Needing of a shepherd. They can't swim, and they're really good at one thing, and that's getting stuck in a mess and a trouble. And Isaiah is saying, hey, you people of God, you are like sheep. And they're confessing it. They're saying, oh, we're like sheep. We've gone astray. One of the greatest things that have been such a blessing to me in the 2 weeks that I've been here is the prayers that I've got to hear from some of the people at New Harmony. So many of them speak of their sheepliness. Their sheepness. I don't know what the word is. They pray of their sin. They acknowledge their sin. And that's what's happening in this confession. Sheep also get so consumed about eating that they don't look up. You know, I just bought my cat Marvin from Spartanburg this past Monday. And it's a she cat, but we didn't know it was until she started having kittens. And I was worried about bringing Marvin, so I'm trying to get Marvin. But one thing great about cats and dogs, I think, unless Marvin runs off and gets lost, Marvin's scared to death of where we live. She just wants to stay in the little carport. She can get back to where she has gone astray. Dog can sniff his way home. Sheep are so pathetic. They just eat grass, and they look, oh, more grass, and they're always looking for greener grass, and they're not paying attention to anything about dangers, and they put themselves in a very vulnerable situation. And you think of that analogy for us. Are we not like that, young people? Are we not like that, adults?
Where we get so consumed with feeding our flesh, feeding ourselves, that we don't pay attention to how vulnerably we place ourselves. We don't pay attention to how the dangers that lay around. One of the hardest things about being a youth pastor for 25, 26 years is dealing with sheep who have just and before they know it, they're in too deep. I can give you names of students. I still pray for them. Two of them could have been some of the greatest youth pastors I think the church has ever had. And they got off into substances. And their life has been stuck in that substance. I'm praying that the Good Shepherd would free them of that. There's a Facebook video of a sheep. Somebody posted this on Facebook, and it's a sheep stuck in this drain ditch, this ditch about this wide. I guess it's for some kind of watering system. And the sheep is stuck head first, his big sheep bottom's hanging out of the trench. When this little shepherd boy grabs him and pulls him out, y'all seen this? He pulls him out, and there's this long trench line, and the sheep hop back into the ditch. And we think of our spiritual struggle, we think of our life and how we get freed from that sin and freed from that ditch of sin and we were stuck in, and we're like, I'm free, I went to RYM, I went to Ridge Haven, I went to the lake with Simpsonville, and I'm free from that, and then all of a sudden, boom, right back in it. Well, another hard thing about being a youth pastor is watching the Lord work in a mighty way in the young people's lives, and then as soon as we come back, as soon as they get back with their friends, as soon as they get back on their phone, as soon as they get back in the world, it's like none of that happened. And he's saying, we are like sheep. We're all like his sheep. We've gone astray. So this all is believers. It's the sheep that God is the shepherd over. And what have the sheep done? Well, they've done exactly what they do. They've gone astray. They've wandered off looking for greener pastures and finding themselves stuck in dangerous situations. And they're saying, God, we're like that. We're so much that it should be a part of your life. I hope that's part of your life. I hope your life is not just proving how much better you are than other people. I hope your life is about constantly acknowledging, God, I'm a sheep. I constantly need you. I'm telling you, if you start becoming that way, you'll find yourself looking for Bible studies. You'll find yourself looking for prayer times. You'll find yourself looking to be a part of wherever the Bible is being taught. Even if it's not cool to be a part of it. Even if my friends aren't there. Even if it's just a bunch of adults. As the Lord does this mighty work in your life, you'll see this repentance growing more and more. And it says, turning to their own ways, what they've done, what these sheep have done, they've saying we've turned away from Christ and we've turned to other things. We've rebelled. We see Christ and who He is and what He wants, and we've turned from Him for what we think is better. And that's the way Satan attacks the church, and it's the way your heart attacks you. Satan says, I want to get them, I want to show them that this looks better. This grass looks greener, because he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And it's saying, we've all gone astray, but we've turned. It's more than just going astray. Oops. Sometimes we look at our sin that way. Oops, I blew it, I messed up. No, it's this rebellion. We've turned from Christ to our own way. And so we see who is the all, and we see what the all has done. And what does God do? It says, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Look up early in Isaiah chapter 53. Look at verse the last part of 4. Or let's just read verse 4. Speaking of this prophecy of Christ coming to bear our grief, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken. We didn't want anything to do with him. Ugh. And then it says in this part, smitten by God. Who was this he smitten by? Smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded by God for our transgressions. He was bruised by God for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We see the same truth in the verse that we've been reading and focusing on, that the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And look it down at verse 10. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Okay, listen to me. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned our own way. That's who we are. That's what we've done. But here God acts. And know this about salvation. I want you to leave with this. Salvation, and y'all know this, you've been taught this. Salvation is a divine act of God. It is not an act of man or woman. It is a divine act of God. It is His doing, not yours. Many religions out there, many faiths out there. And what is it? It's a faith of people saying, I'm turning away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm turning away from salvation through Him alone. And I've got to do something good to make God love me more. There's got to be something I can take credit for. There's got to be something that I can boast about. There's got to be something that I can pat myself on the back because I'm spiritually smarter than the people that are lost where I go. In the religion, we find that man so often will avoid the doctrine of their sins. They'll even think of, I'm not that bad. You can ask even some of our dear older friends and family, hey, tell me if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven or hell? They say, well, I think I'd go to heaven. I've been pretty good. I hope you don't believe that. Because that's not what the Scriptures tell us. That's why we need the Scriptures. We need the Scripture to argue with our heart of pride. We always think we're better than we really are. I love to paint a good picture of myself. I love it. It's one of my greatest battles is how can I make myself look better in the eyes of man? But then if some of us who are willing to admit that we're sinners, we still try to atone for it. We still try to think that we can add to it, and we can't. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Our righteousness is in Him who was made sin. It doesn't mean Jesus became a sinner. He bore. Our sins was laid upon Christ Jesus. He's the perfect substitute. So who is this Him? Look throughout the passage. Go back to Isaiah 53. I'm aware of the time. Verse 2 says, for He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when we see Him, there's no beauty that we should desire Him. Jesus was a fulfillment of that. Wasn't impressive. He was a carpenter. He had calloused hands. There's no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected by men. We see that fulfilled in Christ Jesus, who's despised. Why, of all people, would Jesus be despised and rejected by men? He's healing the sick. He's giving sight to the blind. He's taking the lame guy who's been lame since birth, and He's making him able to walk. He's feeding the hungry physically. He's bringing back the dead. He's calming the storms. And yet they rejected Him. They hated Him. He's despised and rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. God came in the flesh of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and He was acquainted with all grief. He became a sheep. Not a sheep that would go astray, but the perfect Lamb of God who would come and take away the sins of the sheep. And then we see the beauty of the sacrificial system in the Old Testament pointing to the coming Lamb. And it was John the Baptist himself when Jesus walked on to the scene. He said, there is the Lamb of God who has come. Who is this Him? 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 4 says, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Romans 5:4 says, God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. They laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. What you're hearing and seeing in this Isaiah simple passage that my mom and dad taught me, they didn't just want me to know my sinner, that I was a sinner. They wanted to know my Savior. They want to know that Jesus, that iniquity, my sin, that my rebellion against God has been placed upon Christ. They wanted me to know. They wanted to point me to Christ. It says he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken. We think of all the times we act ashamed of God. Shame to tell people we belong to Christ. That's what Peter did. That's what his disciples did. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him. You hear the angel saying, Prince of Peace. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Y'all, that's the gospel. Do you know it? Are you part of the we? Are you a part of the all? We like sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned our own way. And God, you and your grace and your mercy have laid upon him the sin of us all. Have you ever said, how must I be saved? What must I do to be saved, David? How can I know for certainty that I'm going to heaven? I'll tell you right now. First, as you see who God is, acknowledge your sin. Oh God, according to Psalm 139, according to all your scriptures, you're holy and perfect and without blame. You're in control. You're not needy. And yet I've turned away from you. I don't even acknowledge you in my life. I don't allow you to speak into every area of my life. I keep whatever I want to keep from you. Our Jesus, our Savior, says not only was he the Lamb of God, but he says, I am the Good Shepherd. And my sheep know me. John chapter 10. They know my voice. Do you know him? We talked about how great God is and we should worship him for how great he is, but we have no access to his worship. We have no access to praise him outside of the work of Christ. Our songs would fall on deaf ears if we're not doing it in the name of Jesus. Our prayers would fall on deaf ears if we're not doing it in the name of Jesus, because he is the one that our wickedness has been laid upon, and he's endured the wrath of the Father so that we could have eternal access to him. And not only did he do that, but he sent his Holy Spirit. Let me close with this. If you join our church, we ask you five questions. The first one we ask you is, do you acknowledge yourself to be a sinner in the sight of God? And we should say, yes, all we like sheep have gone astray. Yes, I acknowledge I'm a sinner before God, justly deserving of his wrath. Whoa. Yes. I mean, can you, it should say, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned our own way, and God wiped us out. That would be a just verse. That would be a true verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned our own way. We all burned in hell forever. That would be a good verse. That's what we've earned. But the joy of our salvation, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned our way, and the Lord, the divine action of the Lord, has laid upon him the sin of us all. And that is not for all people. That is for the flock in this passage. The elect. There are many that say, I reject Christ, and I want to pay the punishment for my sin. I want to spend eternity in hell. And I want to go and get on the cliff. And I want to pursue the things that will feed my flesh. The second question we ask is, do you acknowledge yourself to be a sinner in the sight of God, justly deserving his displeasure and without hope? You have no hope save in his sovereign mercy. And hopefully when you do, they say, yes, I believe that. Not, I do. I've got to just say yes to all the answers. Yes, I'm a sheep that has gone astray. Yes, I deserve his wrath. And then this next question, the beautiful question, which we find in Isaiah 53:6, says, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of sinners? And do you receive and rest upon him alone for your salvation as he's offered in the Gospels? And hopefully you'll say, yes. We should never get up here and just go, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. We all do it because we're nervous. I do. We say, yes, I believe it. I believe I deserve hell, but I believe Christ paid for it. I believe it, and he's my only hope. Do you resolve and promise in humble reliance upon the grace of the Holy Spirit that you will endeavor to live as becomers the follower of Christ? Yes, why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I? He's transformed this lost sheep and saved me and put my sin on Christ, and he's transformed me, and not only that, he's placed the Holy Spirit in me. Yes, I will be like Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I will be more like him. Yes, I will look to live my life for his glory. And then I won't read the last two. You can read them, go look them up. They're about the church, and they're about how you are to be committed to the church and how you submit yourself to the leadership of the church. We'll get into those another day down the road. Are you part of that all? I invite you this morning. What a great thing. What a great day this would be. What is it? June 13th, 2021. That someone or someones would say, I get it. He's opened my eyes. He's done a divine action on my heart and my brain and my soul, and I put my trust in Christ. I extend that invitation to you, and if the Lord is moving in you salvation, do not hush it. Do not tell it to shut up. But surrender to it, and I'd love to walk you through that. Or one of our elders would love to walk you through that. Or your mom and dad, if they're believers, would love to walk you through that. It's pretty simple on how to receive Christ, yet it's so difficult. It's seeing God for who He is. It's seeing us for who we are. It's saying, oh God, I need to repent and turn from my sin, and it's putting my trust in Christ Jesus. Not just to get my little ticket into heaven, but say, Jesus, You're Lord of my life. And that is a miracle of the Lord that I pray that He does with each one of you here today. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for how clear You have gone to make the gospel in Your word. But Lord, we know that even how clear You make it, we all like sheep will turn away from it. It's not the easy route for us, Lord. You say, pick up my cross and follow me, and we want to turn to our own way. All our sin is traced back to selfish ambition, and we pray that You would crush our self-living and that You would move us into submission to Christ. Because there lies peace, there lies hope, there lies joy, there lies eternal life. Father, we pray that You would do this miracle in us. And for those of us who You've done that miracle, and if we have wandered, oh Lord, may we repent today. May we turn from living for ourselves, and may we, in light of our salvation, move toward our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that for this church. I pray that for your church. Your Catholic, your universal church here. Father, we pray for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.